During the 1950s, you couldn't hear rhythm and blues on the jukebox in the front. To hear all that down and dirty black roots of rock and roll, you had to go to the juke in the back. I'm your host, Matt the Cat, and for an hour each week, we'll go back in time to the soul that came before rock and roll. Post-World War II rhythm and blues that led to the rock and roll explosion of the mid-1950s. You'll hear Wynonia Mr. Blues Harris, Professor Longhair, Big Joe Turner, Laverne Baker, Ruth Brown, and all the other heroes of early R&B. So come to the back of the establishment, where there's sawdust on the floor and the whiskey flows like water. Join me for the Juke in the Back.
For more information on where you can hear Juke in the Back, log on to jukeintheback.org.
Well, hello, dear reader. Hello, dear listener. And welcome to episode 32 of the Handsome Timidity Express, which is a proud part of the Dan and Travis Show, an awesome podcast about awesome things you could find on iTunes and your podcast app. We're also a proud part of the Chronic Rift, a series of podcasts that attempt to find the culture in pop culture. You can listen to this podcast and many others over at chronicrift.com. I want to thank everybody for downloading, listening, and retweeting all those that string of great shows we have with independent filmmakers. All the Kickstarters and all those campaigns we talked about have all been funded, and all those great movies are hopefully going to be coming your way, quite frankly, starting this fall. So we may have a lot of those filmmakers back on to promote the movies once they're actually made. And I also want to throw a big welcome to wrestling fans, because I know I've been talking about having some wrestling guests on, and thanks to my old bosses who are working for a great new promotion, I've been able to score look, if there's a stage that wrestling has been happening, my guest today has performed on it. Wrestling for over 20 years for WWE, Mexico, Japan, TNA Impact Wrestling, and now he's one of the pioneer performers and producers for one of the most innovative wrestling shows to happen in a very long time called Lucha Underground. Welcome to the Handsome Timidity Express, Chavo Guerrero.
Hey, what's going on, man? Handsome Tim. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. This is, you know, Chavo, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of got burnt out on wrestling for a long time. And
you and me both. You and me both.
Well, but Lucha Underground has completely seduced me. How did this whole thing start, and how did you get involved?
Well, like you said, wrestling, I think, was kind of getting stale. You know, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, in the late 90s when we had the Monday Night Wars,
right,
where everybody was one up at each other, and it was just out wrestling was just cutting edge, man. It's like it was so good, and everybody was loving it. You know, they'd be tuning back and forth from one, you know, from Nitro to Raw. It was crazy. But then, you know, there really was no competition from New York lately, you know. So I believe competition keeps everybody alive. It's better for everybody. And, you know, you got, you know, WWE just trying. There's nobody to compete with, so it doesn't matter what they put out there, because where else? Where's your alternative? Just
right.
Gonna watch that.
Right.
So that being said, Mark Burnett, He called me personally. Yeah, right. Just kidding. But Mark Burnett decided to start he saw a void in the actual product. He saw a void in wrestling and thought, you know, man, I can do this better. And if you know anything about Mark Burnett, what he does, a lot of times he sees something and he goes, man, we can make this much better than what is out there already. I can produce something much better.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of that's what he does. You know, I mean, you see the voice, you know, I mean, he was watching American Idol and thought, I can do it. I can outdo this. And sure enough, like the voice is putting American Idol out of business, you know? So, you know, and then he's so innovative too. He comes up with all different new things and stuff, but I think he saw a void in the product and wrestling and created this lucha style, and it just morphed. It kind of had everybody's different ideas, you know.
Yeah.
Between Eric Van Wagner's idea, who's the showrunner, and El Rey's ideas, and Mark Burnett's ideas, and then, you know, we start putting our little ideas in there, and it just kind of morphed. It's just the perfect storm of everything right now, you know. It's just one of those things that just, you know, they decided to make wrestling what it is, and it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Instead of like the other guys where they're always trying to upcharge you and upsell you and supersize you. They use their TV to sell their network or TV to sell their live events or the TV to sell their pay-per-views. And they just give you a little bit so you buy more. Well, that's not us. We're giving you everything. We just ask you, just give us an hour. We'll tune in next week. Just tune in next week. Tune in next week. And just the way we shoot it, you know, backstage where it's like a movie. We shoot it. It's not like typical wrestling when there's five guys trying to squeeze into one camera shot, you know, shot on video. And, you know, it's just, you know, all of a sudden conveniently you got, you know, the champ walking down the hallway and bumps into somebody else. It's not like that. It's done. We shoot it like a movie where it's, you know, we have cameras and we have wardrobe and lighting and, you know, smoke and music and if we're shooting the shot, you know, 10 different times from 10 different angles and jib camera. It's pretty innovative, man. I mean, it's, if you see it, everybody's just tripping out of it going, wow, this is so great.
Yeah. Let me share with you my sort of exposure. Cause you know, I've been watching wrestling since 1985, basically. I was one of those rock and wrestling kids. And when I went to the live shows and I really enjoyed it. And then when I watched, cause it does tape just to explain to folks, it does tape in advance like a TV show. It's not live like Monday Night Raw. So I saw the live shows, and then I watched when it premiered late October, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And there was, like you described, there was incidental music. It was shot with this, like, it's like a grindhouse TV show.
And I was like, everybody tripped out when they first saw it. Have you seen the first comments from the first episode and second episode? People were kind of like, I'm not sure yet. Do I like this? Do I not like it? Nobody was talking negative. They were just kind of like, it's just so different. And by the third, fourth, fifth episode, everybody was on board going, oh my God, this is so great.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I was one of those people. That was exactly my thought. Watching that first episode, I was like, okay. I didn't know what to do. You know what it almost reminds me of? I don't know if you were a fan of the TV show Dexter, where it was like,
oh, I loved it.
Well, there you go. That's one where it's like, okay, Dexter doesn't do anything that's that different, except the main character is a serial killer. It's not like the tricks in Lucha Underground are that different, but in the context of wrestling, like putting music underneath the things and the way it's shot, it's just small enough to actually make a huge difference. The next thing you know, you're innovating TV.
Absolutely. You know, and Lucha created a new product that was different. It's wrestling, but it's not wrestling. They changed wrestling. And I was part of that rock and wrestling. I remember watching my dad when they started incorporating music and live groups into a wrestling show. And it was, I remember my dad was promoting. He was promoting in, I believe, San Antonio. And remember them going back and forth and him talking. I was just kind of like a, you know, fly in the room. But, you know, I was 13, 12 at the time. And they're talking like, man, we should have a band. And, you know, the older timers go, band, that's not wrestling. This is wrestling, you know. And they were just changing it a little bit, but it made a difference. And then, of course, every, you know, wrestling changed again and changed again and changed again. But I really believe we're changing it again.
No, absolutely. And the thing is like, that's actually important because one of the reasons why I stopped watching wrestling regularly, and this might surprise you, is it's not because I really didn't like the product. But I remember watching an episode of Monday Night Raw and being like, you know something? I've been watching for 20 years. I've seen this all before. I've seen it all.
Exactly.
And now I'm watching Lucha Underground and I'm like, I've never seen this. I've never seen stuff like this. And I think
You know what? I'm sorry to cut you off.
But no,
you're absolutely correct. You haven't seen that before. You've seen wrestling, but not in this content. And then not only are we showing wrestling, but it's like a lucha wrestling, but it's not lucha. It's not American style. It's not Europe style. It's not Japanese style. It's like a hybrid. We're such a hybrid. Even the wrestling is different. And we're always butting heads. That's kind of my job a little bit in as a producer on the show is the whole wrestling aspect and the whole wrestling camera work and all that kind of stuff. Like the whole wrestling idea of it. It's kind of like what I do on the show, you know, and other things. But so I was butting heads with some other people and they wanted it to be like more lucha. It's Lucha Underground. I want it to be like lucha. And I said, no, it can't be lucha because if it's lucha, then they're just going to watch the lucha show, you know, AAA show. Or if we can't be a hybrid of WWE, because then it's like coming in and being RC Cola to a Coca-Cola. They're just going to say it's your knockoff.
Yeah.
So we had to be different. I had to fight for it. But once it started happening, I think everybody kind of got on board going, okay, it's Lucha. Don't get me wrong. Lucha is such a great style. I love it. But also, there's bad parts of Lucha that I don't like. And, you know, and there's wrestling, American style wrestling is still great in the entertainment aspect of it sometimes, but there's some bad parts of it also that mm-hmm. I don't like. So it's almost we fuse the good of both things together and create it like a hybrid, you know, and that's just in the wrestling style, the wrestling portion of the show. Now, after I saw the, I knew that we had these great production company producer people with us, and I knew they were very, very talented, but I didn't really know what to expect either. And then when I saw the first episode, I was blown away. I watched it like everybody else. I watched it on when it aired, debuted on that Wednesday night on the LRA network. I watched it at 8 o'clock and it was like, what the heck? I went back to work the next show, whichever was, you know, a few days later, and I pulled the wrestlers aside and said, guys, this is something completely different. And I knew that it was going to be. I just didn't know how it was, how it was going to happen. And I pulled the wrestlers and said, look, we have to step up, because it's usually the production company trying to catch up to the wrestlers. But it was vice versa here. We had the wrestlers. We had to catch up and make our stuff in the ring so much better to make that, to keep up with production. It was great just to be a part of that first couple episodes. It was awesome.
Yeah, let me follow up on a couple of things you mentioned there, because what you just described with the fighting for something new, I mean, that's a trap that's always been in Hollywood of like, oh no, this is the way it's done and this is the way it should always be done. And that's something that I think you'll find that almost legitimizes Lucha Underground more as a TV show, because so many writers and directors over the years have been that, like, no, we have to break out of our comfort zones. Otherwise, we're just going to be stuck in a rut. There's a real close does that make sense? Like, there's a close line between in a rut and comfort.
All the best directors out there, all these cutting-edge directors, they went outside the line.
Yeah.
When people told them, don't do it. Quentin Tarantino is famous for that. When he did Reservoir Dogs and did Pulp Fiction, people were kind of like, "What? This is never going to work. This is horrible. What are you doing?" And then when they caught on, people were like, oh my gosh, those are two of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And this, because they were so different. And since then, I've seen a lot of movies kind of copy it a little bit and make their own style. But to me, he was the first, man. He was the first when I saw it. I was like, wow. You know, and Robert Rodriguez, the same thing. His movies were just, they were just different out of, you know, and he colored completely out of the lines. And people told him, what are you doing? This is not how you do it. This is not filmmaking. What are you doing? This is not how it's done. And he did it, and look where these guys are out to get today. And I think that's what we're doing with wrestling. We're not creating just a wrestling show. We're creating a very good TV show. Well, if you're not a wrestling fan, you're going to watch and go, wow. And forgive me, because I can talk and talk about this. I'm very passionate about that.
Please.
I love, 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 love the product. I think it's so great.
Yeah, and well, the funny thing is too, you brought up Robert Rodriguez. Well, the other thing too, now everybody's doing what Quentin and Robert Rodriguez do. You know, they were the first ones to do what now everybody's doing. Robert Rodriguez, we should talk about this, is actually the owner, or actually the president. I don't know his exact position, but he's basically the boss. He's the Vince McMahon of El Rey Network. He's the boss.
Yes,
he's in charge of El Rey.
Every single frame of Lucha Underground, at least that goes on El Rey Network, Robert approves, and that's from high ups that tell me directly that he sees everything.
Yeah,
you know, so.
And well, what's cool about that, and again, you heard me mention at the top of the show, we just had a ton of independent filmmakers on this podcast the past few weeks, and Robert Rodriguez was that like renegade filmmaker. Now he's got this new network and this new renegade wrestling show. I mean, you look, Chavo, you've wrestled in front of thousands of people at WrestleMania. You've wrestled on the biggest stages. What's it like for you now, after 20 years in the business, to be part of like that renegade, almost like not independent film, but almost independent wrestling type renegade thing that's like this new upstart kicking the dust up? That's got to be – I know you're passionate. I know you're going to say you're excited about it, but this is really something else.
Yeah, you know
position.
What? It's really to be involved in this, and just to see it just morph into something that is just so, I mean, so great. It's a blessing. It really is. And I, when it was first presented to me to come in and be a part of this, I kind of saw it. I kind of envisioned something like this. I mean, of course, not like I mean, nobody could have envisioned this. It just something like, I knew this was going to be different. I knew this could be great. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I really did. And I actually had with one of the head the network leads, John Fogelman, who's owns part of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had a conversation about it. And man, I was like, God, you know what you have here? And he's like, well, I'm betting on it. And I go, I think you made the right bet. I really just believe so. I think we're just touching what we're going to be able to do. We're just getting our feet wet right now. This is going to get even better.
I agree with you. And before, it sounds like, I know we're, well, what do you want from us, listeners? We're excited about this thing. That's why we're talking about it. You should watch it and be excited about it too. But we keep talking about Lucha. I wonder if we should just, for folks that aren't super initiated with wrestling, Lucha Libre is basically pro wrestling in Mexico. It's similar but different to wrestling in America. And there have been other attempts to bring Lucha Libre into America, but never anything like this. Chavo, why do you think it's been so hard to bring Lucha over the border? And do you think this is really the moment that's going to introduce people to, like you mentioned, AAA and a whole host of super talented guys south of the border?
Yeah, you know what? Lucha always is involved in the American style of wrestling. Any mm-hmm. high-flying moves you see, any head scissors, any Rey Mysterio-esque moves, that's all Lucha Libre. Mm-hmm. That's all. My grandfather, Gorgor, was one of the pioneers of Lucha Libre in Mexico, him and his partner, El Santo. And you know, as kids, we grew up in that style. But, you know, my dad started wrestling in Japan a lot, started wrestling in America a lot. So I say this style that you're seeing in Lucha Libre, I tell the wrestlers, the Lucha Underground wrestlers, I tell them that this is like Guerrero style. This is like how we wrestle. If you see what Eddie Guerrero, my uncle, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, when they came into WCW, they kind of had this style. They brought this lucha Japanese American esque style. It was like a different raw style that people never really seen before. They brought that with them, and with these moves and with these hard clotheslines and with it was a different style. They brought it with them. So it's slowly has been infiltrating into American wrestling, the wrestling style that you see now. You know, you saw in 1984 was not this, not this style. You have guys like, you know, Shawn Michaels, who grew up in Texas, in South Texas.
That's right.
In San Antonio, very Latino community, where he learned from Jose Lothario, learned that Lucha Libre type style, and he kind of pioneered that also into, you know, doing those moves and moonsaults and different high flying stuff, and he got a lot of flack for it. People were like, "Wow, come on, that's not wrestling. Wrestling's a headlock and tackle, grab it again," you know. But he kind of changed, and among other people, so many other people that kind of, you know, change the style that you saw there that's kind of morphed. Now American wrestling is all this style.
Yeah.
You know, you see big, I mean, the first time I saw Kane, a 6'10", 360-pounder do a hurricanrana, I was like, what the heck? Where are we? You know, that was never done before. That would never, ever have happened in 1984.
I saw Kane did a flying leap from the top rope across the ring. I marked out like I never saw a wrestling before. He's insane.
Right?
And Shawn Michaels is another one, like Quentin and Robert Rodriguez. Again, it's always a good thing. I like, you know, just to talk a little screenwriting, storytelling for a second. I like notes, and because I know wrestling is a form of storytelling as opposed to a quote unquote sport. And, you know, I don't like notes that say don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. No, notes should be like, no, do this. Do that. No, do the things that you're good at. Do the things you're strong at. Whenever somebody tells you don't do something, I'm curious about their motives. They may have another motive in mind. Their fear of jealousy.
In wrestling, we always say, do it and just apologize later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Take the flack and apologize later. But I see what you're saying, you know, as far as it's just the way, you know, things changed, and this is just such a, I'm kind of like lost for words, so I'm kind of overwhelmed with how awesome I'm so excited I am in this product. You know what I mean? It just, we're just changing wrestling. And it's in movie telling, like you're, back to what you're saying, when you tell a story in movie, on sports, any pro sport is, once you collect a dollar for it, it's no longer a sport. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it is storytelling. I don't care if it's boxing or UFC or football or NFL, NBA. It's storytelling. It's what you say. If you just see a game and it's just a 3-3 and just a horrible game, you know, on, let's say NFL, people change the channel. They want to see those, that story and the rivalries. And that's what the pregame show builds up and really shows, the rivalries of the Dallas Cowboys against the Redskins. You know what I mean? And just the history and stuff. And that's storytelling. And that's what we do in wrestling. But in movies too. So when I kind of transitioned out of wrestling and kind of left wrestling for a little bit, I started going in, getting into movies just to see where I was at. I just did a couple small movies and just to see where I was at. I didn't know if I was going to be able to transition into that world. And soon, just starting doing it and doing it, being in front of the camera, I was like, huh, well, I've got this because this is exactly what I do. Right. The only difference in wrestling, we do it live with no script. We kind of have bullet points. We just kind of, you know, fly off the cuff. It's not already written out for me where I can just remember my line and I can say, hold on, line. Okay. Right. To me, doing it on movies was easy. It was even easier. Although in wrestling, we're so big, you know, and animated because we're playing to 10, 15,000 people. On movies, it's just that small screen. You really have to tone it down a lot. And I had to learn that, you know.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you talk about the real sports thing, looking at this whole Patriots thing. It's like Robert Kraft is now the Dario Cueto of the NFL. He's now that evil owner with the villains. It's so, and look, the Patriots, right, they suspend Tom Brady for 4 games. What's his first game back? Against the Colts. Pat Patterson could have done it better himself. You know what I mean? Like that,
you know,
that's booking.
That's great booking right now because that's what the whole thing was against. And oh, it's perfect.
It's true.
I mean, that's storytelling right there.
Now, it's,
anybody says it's not, it's coincidence, is they don't know what they're talking about.
That's a big wink, absolutely. Well, let's, you know, it's funny. You mentioned your third generation, you know,
yes,
superstar. And there's not a lot of those around. And but your grandfather's era of wrestling, we've talked about how new it is, and your father's era of wrestling, wrestling was very secretive, and wrestling was presented, you know, as pretty much on the up and up. I don't know how serious it was like that in Mexico, but how has the that sort of transition, especially, like, what does your dad think of Lucha Underground and seeing wrestling presented like this?
Wrestling was definitely, it was always... Okay, wrestling, people think it's because it's entertainment, you know, it's, oh, this is not real, it's fake. Well, that's totally false. It's more like stunt work. You would never see a guy that was a stunt man on a movie and say, oh, that's a fake fall.
Right.
Because it's not a fake fall. Now, he may have rehearsed it a bunch of times. Well, if you look at stuntmen, a lot of stuntmen are very, very big fans of what we do because they don't get that we can do this without rehearsing. And we just go out there and just do it. And they're like, we don't get it. This would have taken me a month to do this, and you guys, you know, kind of put it together and did it in 20 minutes. I'm like, well, yeah. And they're like, how did you not die? You know, so the whole not being real is kind of not correct. Now, entertainment, 100%. But, you know, it was always presented as, you know, 100% shoot, you know, 100% real, it was UFC style. But once we kind of got away from that, that's when I think wrestling actually thrived and got better, when it was presented more like, hey, this is entertainment. These are great athletes putting their bodies in line and they could die at any time. But, you know, we're there. Our main objective is to entertain you. And that's what all of, like, back to what I said, all about pro sports, it's entertainment. And that's what really, that's what football is. That's what basketball is. That's what UFC is. That it's all, it's entertainment. We do it through fighting and playing, you know, big kid games, but that's exactly what it is. And we're kind of the only ones that actually admit that, you know?
No, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that the world of, you know, even, you know, I would never say the F word about wrestling, the fake word, because I just have seen too many guys get hurt.
It's just not.
It's not.
That's the wrong word.
And
it's
I don't,
the wrong,
I don't even know. I'm being quite possibly overly reverential, but I'd rather be more than less of like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to use the word kayfabe. But, you know, there was an era for a great many years in which wrestling was very much protected and secretive. And I think in a way it almost hid a real strength of wrestling, which is the storytelling, the good guy versus the bad guy. And not only just in the booking and promotion, but in the actual match itself. Like, okay, these two people are going to have a match. And, you know, for, you know, we'll talk about the intergender stuff, but stuff like Sexy Star versus Big Rick told a story of a David Goliath story, if you will. And I think there's been a lot of storytelling things that we can learn from wrestling that have kind of been hidden. And do you think Lucha Underground and stuff, like, do you think that's accurate? And will Lucha Underground hopefully bring some of that stuff out?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's kind of what we do in Lucha Underground, you know, the whole intergender things. People are sometimes fans and not fans of it. But if you, in real life, how many men, husbands, are scared of their wives and scared to death?
All of
my friends are, because there ain't nothing like a woman scorned. You know, the hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. You've heard that saying, and that's the truth. These, you know, a guy is not going to.
Sorry about that. No, go ahead.
A guy is not going to sit there and stab you in the eye when you go to sleep, but a woman will. You know, so it's just, you know, in Lucha, we kind of, fighting a woman in real life, I would never want to do that, because I know how a man fights, and I can take a man. A woman, it's like a cat. They're fighting completely different. Mm-hmm. I would never want to ever actually in real life tangle up with a woman, because even because a man is stronger than a woman and tougher than a woman, I would never want to touch a woman in real life, because she would rip your head off. They're a different being, you know. And in Lucha Underground, we touch on that a little bit and say that, yeah, a woman can beat a man in certain things. Look at Ronda Rousey.
I was just going to bring her up.
She can beat, you know, 99% of the men out there in the world, and so can all the other girls. You know, you see those girls fight. They're the most exciting thing in UFC right now, because they bring it. There's no running. They're not sitting there just sticking and moving and getting away and pulling a Mayweather. No, these girls are scrapping, and I love watching them. But in Lucha, it's the same thing. You have Sexy Star against Big Rick, or when I came in the second episode, when I hit Sexy Star with that chair, people freaked out. They were like, oh my God, what is this? It's a completely different. You could never do that on another show, you know? And this, thank God this network lets us, the LRA network lets us kind of get away with some stuff that other networks won't.
Well, it's
people are loving it.
It's funny you bring up Ronda Rousey, who it broke today. We're taping this on Tuesday, May 12th. It broke today. She's going to be on next week's Sports Illustrated cover. And I would much rather, I'm so glad you said that, because I would much rather write a 14-second fight where Ronda Rousey just kills her opponent than the Mayweather thing, which was just headlocks and hugs.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I believe 3 out of 4 of the 4 horsewomen were actually at I don't know how many. I know 1 or 2 of them were actually at Lucha Underground at ringside.
Yep. Shayna, she's a big wrestling fan. And they were there with Josh Barnett, and you know, they were there they're fans. They watch it because they understand it, they get it. Josh Barnett, if you know anything about Josh, you know, ex UFC heavyweight champion, and just won his last Metamorphosis grappling championship again. This guy, he claims that he's a pro wrestler. He's a catch wrestler. He's a pro wrestler and goes out there and stretches everybody, because that's his style. That's what wrestling really is. If you look back, what we actually do is pro wrestling. It's actually the technical name for it is called catch as catch can. And that's what, how wrestling kind of started back in the day. And it's evolved to this, but you know, so we're all big fans of Josh, because he's like, yeah, I'm a pro wrestler. And he goes out there and didn't cast anybody out. He goes, hey, that's what wrestling is.
Yeah.
So he gets it, you know, and they get out there and they're fans of the athleticism and the moves and doing all that kind of stuff. And it's cool to, you know, to have fans like that and be vice versa, watch their stuff, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I think that back in the day, when, especially here in America, you know, a lot of people would be in real sports, especially in like the 60s and 70s, were like kind of like, I had a gym teacher, Chava, who like had this deep hatred of wrestling, who thought it was just so insulting to real sports. And it's like, no, that's not the point. You know, pro wrestling isn't trying to be the NBA playoffs, or it's a totally different animal type of thing.
And some people get it and some people don't get it. Yeah. Just like any other sports. Some people get it and some people don't. Some people are I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. Like that's my live all die all. But some people we go, you know, watch, and some guys I know, we watch, go to the sports bar to watch the game, and you know, they're too busy talking and they don't even care about the game.
Right.
Some people get it and some people don't. And same with wrestling. Some people get it and some people don't get it.
Now, I want to talk a bit more about the intergender thing, because I remember, yeah, I was the same way. I watched the chair shot with Sexy Star, and when all this was going on, there was the cloud of the Ray Rice scandal and controversy happening. There was a lot of weird stuff going on, and it was like all of a sudden, here comes Lucha Underground doing men versus women matches. And if you're listening to this and you're listening to some of this stuff and your blood's boiling, well, hold on, don't. Let me just throw out a couple things to give it a chance. One is the women are presented just as just like the men. There's really no difference. Looking at right now, recently, we hopefully it's not spoiling for anybody who hasn't caught up yet, but the trios champions are Son of Havoc, Angelico, and Ivalice, who's a women wrestler from Puerto Rico, and she's put in there with the men. And the funny thing is I know, talking to some people in the company, they found articles and blogs and tweets from women who feel very empowered by this. Like, this isn't one of those things where it's like catfight and hair pulling. I know you talked about some of that a little bit, but it's not quite as simple as that. There's like a real sort of, no, these are like, there's a huge controversy. I'm sorry, I'm going off a little bit, but like, there's a huge controversy in the comic book world about not enough women superheroes. Well, guess what? There's a fair amount of luchadoras, and my understanding, maybe even some more coming.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, you look at women's wrestling. That's, these girls are great athletes, and they bring a different aspect to wrestling. But it's very, some of the ratings are some of the highest things in wrestling.
Yeah,
and it's just great. It's great that we're able to actually show the power of women in lucha. We're very careful with it. We always try not to degrade them, and you know, try to, you know, we're men, and so that's not what it's about. This is entertainment. And we're about empowering the women and other aspects of culture, you know, and in wrestling, and actually in empowering them, because, you know, whether to say, let's not touch too much on it, but let's say it's a gay person, a homosexual. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of them that I would never want to ever mess with. They're always perceived in culture like they're weak. And I know a lot of them that I would never even want to touch, because they would whoop my, they would kick my butt. I mean, really, because they're tough guys, you know, really, really. And there's, you know, all these pro athletes in other different sports that are coming out now and saying, well, in lucha, if that's done, that we empower them and show them how tough they actually are. And they have their own way of doing it, you know, which makes it great. But, you know, you don't want to mess with somebody like that. You really just don't, you know?
Someone else I want to mess with is, I hope I'm going to say it right, is Masquerita Sagrada, who is,
awesome.
He's a mini. He's amazing, but he's a dwarf. And he's probably one of the toughest guys, and some of the stuff he does is absolutely off the charts.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. He's just one of the best of all time, best high flyers of all time. Stuff that he does that nobody else can do, really, you know. And it's, you have a mini, like a dwarf out there that, he's got to put a mask on. He's like a superhero. He's this superhero guy that is kind of like, you watch and it's like, is this, am I really watching this? Because this guy's tough, this guy's just doing. I mean, it's crazy. It's a, you know, regular size, you know, human being can't do.
Chavo, how much of the magic of wrestling and sort of why Lucha Underground has become so successful, how much is it not what you do, but how you do it?
The magic of wrestling?
You know what I mean? Like how, like, it's not just like, it's not just putting a dwarf out there in a mask and putting him up against somebody. It's how he's presented. It's the context of the stories. I feel like it sounds like a simple question, but it's almost like an almost overlooked thing.
There's a lot of thought goes involved, and our writers, Krista Joseph and Matt Stolman and Chris Roach, these guys put a lot of thought into that. You're just not just matchmaking, throwing two guys together. Ah, let's put this guy together, put that guy together. We really have to think about a lot of different aspects of what if this and what if that. A lot of what ifs. Well, how do we do this? What if this? How is this going to proceed? How can we make a good match of this? How much time do we need? How much? And they're trying to put an hour show together too. So it's an art form. It really is. Not just being in the ring, but putting this show together. It's a different animal. You've never done entertainment, and they come from a different part of entertainment, a different part of movies, a different part of TV. It's totally, it's different. It's foreign, you know, and it's a very rich art form.
Yeah.
And just like some of the guys, the production guys that came in, a lot of the guys that had never shot, some of the camera guys and sound guys, they never had, the directors had never shot wrestling before. So that's when we came in. We taught them a little bit. I taught them this little tiny bit of wrestling. They're teaching me this huge thing about, you know, TV productions. It's kind of awesome. But these guys are the best in the business, and they, you know, one show and they pick it up like crazy. Now they're like shooting. It's so incredible, you know, so it's cool to see how good they are at their game. It makes us have to be that much better at our game.
It's funny you say that. He's going to make fun of me so bad, but yeah, I will say on the record, I worked for Eric Van Wagenen on Tough Enough and Legends House. And he really is one of the very best reality TV show producers. If you don't believe me, listener, I mean, just go to his IMDb, the Apprentice, the Contender. I mean, he is absolutely one of the best. Now, and he brought in this crew of people, as you talked about, who didn't really know wrestling. We were a little familiar. In fact, one of my things on Tough Enough and Legends House actually was to, one of my jobs was actually to tell people on the crew, okay, this is Roddy Piper. He's important because, and this is me and Gene Okerlund, and this is what he did in his career because I was almost a translator in many ways for those guys. Did you have any sort of concern of like, uh-oh, here comes a bunch of people who are going to be, they're not going to get it. I mean, did you have any concerns about that?
No, not, if they hadn't shot wrestling before, it was my job to inform them, kind of, not tell them how to do their job because they can't, they're just so good, but I have to inform them, look, what's the best for you guys to get this shot? If I'm going to do something, let's say I'm going to do a dive out to the ground right here, where do you want me to do it so that you can catch it the best?
Mm.
And the first they're kind of like, So Ryan didn't know wrestling. They're like, well, why is he outside? I'm like, well, you can, you know, we can fight outside. Oh, you can't? I'm like, yeah. Well, okay. Well, how long? I go, well, you got 10 seconds to get back in the ring. They're like, oh, okay. And so they caught us something so fast, and, you know, they're just so good at their job that I never really had any concern because, you know, trusting Eric and trusting, you know, Mark Burnett's guys, these guys are going to be, they're here for a reason, you know. They've worked and been in this game for a long time for a reason because they are the best in the business, you know. And just because they haven't shot this doesn't mean they can't shoot that, you know. And it's just like a small learning curve. They learn in one show, one match, and these guys are already shooting like they've been around this sport for 10 years, you know.
No, and it's funny because after one of the recent tapings, I was chatting with a few friends of mine on the crew, and they were probably the most excited people in the building about some of the stuff that was going on. And they were like, can you believe that happened? And I was like, why do you think I watched wrestling for 20 years? This is what it is. This is what makes it work.
And a lot of the crew had never seen wrestling. A lot of the crew, they just never seen wrestling before. And all of a sudden they see this kind of wrestling. They're like, oh my, they're enthralled. Sometimes they're not doing their job because they're watching. Yeah. Like, oh, they got to snap out of it and keep going because they're like, now they have a huge appreciation for wrestling because they see how hard the ring is and there's no, you know, they're throwing against the chairs and they're like, oh my God, that's a real chair. I thought wrestling was fake. They all come to me and say, those are real chairs. It's real. I'm like, oh yeah. They're like, we didn't know. We didn't get it. He fell, you know, 10 feet to the ground. How does that happen? And they're kind of like in awe going, wow. So they kind of, you know, we're just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then afterwards, you know, we have a beer and have a burrito. You know, these guys are kind of like, they're looking at, they look at us different, kind of like, these guys are kind of like real superheroes. You know, they kind of look at us different, like, these guys are crazy.
Well,
it's kind of funny to see it, you know.
I don't mind confessing to you that I have a serious fear of heights. And, I mean, some of the leaps, like Angelico's leap or Johnny Mundo's leap, and some, I'm not going to spoil some of the ones coming up. That's pretty fearless stuff.
It's not just fearless. It's having a trust in your the person you're working with, your coworker, you know, because you're trusting on them to catch you, or at least help break your fall, because you know you're falling from 20 feet, they can't catch you, you know. But they're you're counting on them being there for you, because you know, it's a real hard ground, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's just having trust in your coworker and in yourself, and whether you have a fear of heights or whatever, you kind of put it aside. And people ask, well, how do you practice this stuff? And you just can't. There's no way to practice it. There's not like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, there's no foam pit that we can practice this into, or no pool that we can jump into. It just, you kind of have, you envision it, kind of think about, can I do this? And you say, okay, and you just go out there and do it on camera, live. You just go do it. There's no practice on it, man. It's just, you just go do it. And once that red light comes on and the first punch in the face, you kind of forget that you're even like kind of in like arena. I don't know. You get into a different, like the zone, we call it. You're like in a different world.
It's amazing. Yeah. And it's hard to describe unless you're actually in that zone. It's an amazing thing. It sounds like a sappy question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Real quick.
It's funny. Cause like when you're in, like before, like I'm like, oh God, I gotta look at this guy. I hope he doesn't kick me in the face, you know, because he's known for his kicks. I'm like, oh man, I hope he doesn't kick me in the face. Well, then when you're in the ring and I'm sitting on the top rope and I see him raring up to give me a kick, I'm putting my face out there going, kick me in the face! Come on! It's so weird and different, because I would really, in real life, I'd be like, yeah, put my hands up like, leave me alone! But when you get in that mode, in that wrestling mode, you get almost invincible, and you're like, come on, that's all you got? Kick me harder! You know, it's the weirdest thing.
How much does the crowd add to that? Like, how much did the crowd help you with that zone? And even after, like, all these, I'm not, you know, like I said, you're very experienced. You've done a lot in the business. Do you still get that, like, excitement and butterflies going out there?
I always do. I'm not too much nervous anymore,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure.
I'm pretty much confident in what I can do out there. But you get that, you feed off the crowd for sure.
Yeah.
If the crowd is hot and they're, you know, you're like, you know, sometimes even before a lockout, I can hear them, you know, roaring, the roar coming. I just think to myself, oh, this is going to be easy. And then sometimes vice versa, you know, you don't hear them. They're kind of like, well, where are you guys? Come on, clap. He's like, okay, well, now I got to work a little bit to get them clapping, get them, you know, really into this, you know. So the atmosphere really does have a lot to do with it, you know, for sure. But that's where being a pro, you know, comes into play, is where even if they're not there, you have to get them there. I always know that there's something's going to make them pop, if you want to call it. That something's going to make them pop, whether it's going to be wrestling, or whether it be flying, or whether it be brawling, or whether it be entertainment. Something's going to get them cheering, get them off of their hands, you know, off sitting off their hands, get them clapping, get them into it. I just, you don't know what it is sometimes, you know, so you got to, you know, that's where the art comes into play, and you learn how to get them, you know, get those people entertained.
And it's so funny, even though it's not performance art, I don't want to say screenwriting is like wrestling, but listening to that just now, that is such an important part of screenwriting, is like whether you're writing a horror movie, where do you put the scares to get the biggest scream? If you're writing a comedy, where do you put the jokes to get the biggest laughs? You know what I mean? That's why storytelling is so important in wrestling.
I always say it's like a baby. If you've ever had a baby before, now I've got, you know, two kids, 15 and 12, that when they were kids, when they were babies, they're crying. They don't know why they're crying, but they're crying. It's your job to figure it out. So once you figure it out, okay, they're either dirty, you know, change their diapers, or they're hungry, or they're tired, or they got a burp. I mean, for the most part, it's kind of, you got to just figure out what. They're not just crying to cry. I mean, let's say like colic or something like that. But a baby can't tell you why he's upset. He's got to cry. So that's what he's trying to do. You got to figure it out.
Right.
And I kind of I kind of assimilate that to the crowd, where they're kind of like babies. They don't, they want to be entertained, but they just don't know what they want to entertain them. When you go to a movie, you want to be entertained, you just don't, it's the movie's job to get you entertained.
Yeah.
Well, it's my job to entertain you and get you clapping and get you excited and get you in that suspended belief. But if I'm not good at my job, just like you, if you see a movie that's not very good, well, you're kind of like, well, that was just okay as you walk out. Or, that math is just okay. But if I'm good at my job and I can read you and know what's going to make these people click, what's going to get them clapping and entertained, and that's my job.
That's awesome. The let's talk a little bit. What's interesting, too, we're about 45, so we're coming up on time a little bit, but I'd love to touch upon the fact of what, and I think this really works well for the Lucha Underground roster. It works well for Lucha Underground is the variety in the roster. There are former WWE guys, there are, and then there's luchadors from Mexico, and then there's also some brand new talent from the local scene here in California. It's a mixture of all. Can you share some thoughts about the roster and some of the luchadors you guys have?
I think it's the best roster in the world. You know, I mean, just for what these guys can do, it's, we didn't want to be a carbon copy of anybody. So we kind of took a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit, and kind of, we had to make sure they could do the style that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we wanted to make sure that this little hybrid style, they have to kind of fit in that. So I get calls all the time from people like, hey, we want to send my resume in, or friends, hey man, I want to be a part of this. Well, which is great, but not everybody can kind of do that style, kind of fit into the idea of this hybrid style that we want to happen. So, in that being said, this roster that we have, it's some of the best wrestlers in the world that nobody knew of. You know, some of these guys like Prince Puma, this guy, I never even heard of this guy. You know, some of Havoc. You know, and what they wrestle in different organizations. I was like, why have these guys never been, to the big show?
Right.
Well, these guys had tried out and they didn't want them or whatever. So back, the reason is this. So back in the day, wrestlers, back when there were territories, wrestlers could go all these different territories and they perfected their craft. They learn how to be a good guy, and the next territory they'd go be a bad guy. Then they'd go be a tag team. Then they'd go be a single, in all these different little organizations, the Oklahoma territory, the Texas territory, the New York territory. They would all and perfect their craft. You really didn't get to the big time until you were really good at what you did. Well, because of how wrestling changed and there was really no other place to go, besides kind of WWE at the time, it kind of killed independent wrestling. There was no independent wrestling. It was kind of, there wasn't. But once that talent, after 10 years or so, that talent will kind of started dropping off and people started, stopping wrestling and retiring and stuff. So now there was no, if you watch that show now, there's nobody for them to take up. And the show is lacking because they have all these new people that have never been anywhere. They never perfected their craft. So all of a sudden, independent wrestling started getting big again because all these people that couldn't make it to the main stage, if you want to call it, all sort of started wrestling in independent shows and going to Japan and going to Europe. And all of a sudden, they started getting really, really, really good. And we were just at the right place, right time, and we picked all of these talents. And there's still a lot out there that people have never seen. And we picked them, and all of a sudden, they're doing these great, they're so talented. Now, my job is to kind of get them to calm down a little bit. And just because you can do a backflip doesn't mean you should do a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to teach some of these guys, okay, there's a time and a place when to do things and get the most out of what they're doing. Because some of these guys are just working so hard out there. I'm like, guys, you're working too hard. Sometimes less is more. Let's they're getting it. They're getting like they're understanding so good. They're just so good and so talented. They just need to be directed a little bit, and that's kind of what we're trying to do here. And some of these guys they're going to get some of our main stars in the next year or two are going to be even better because they're going to perfect it even better. Because some of these guys they've been on TV for 4 years, 5 years, but they didn't know what a hard camera was. They didn't know that they were supposed to play to this camp. They didn't know certain things that they'd never really known before. And that's kind of what we're teaching them and showing them. And Lucha is just a different entity on its own. So Lucha Underground, we're teaching them this style, what we want them to do with this style, which may not work other places, but, and they're all getting it. And man, it just, I think the wrestling from the first episode to now, it's just getting better and better and better, and it's going to continue to evolve and get better.
It's funny you say, it's almost bookending what we were talking about before, because guys like Son of Havoc and, yep, you know, Phoenix and King Cuerno, and I mean, I can name the whole roster, Pentagon Jr., Cage, I'm not leaving anybody off, Hernandez. It's sad, and I'm not trying to hate on the WWE. If you're a WWE fan, I'm not hating on you. Make fun of you. It's good, to have alternatives, but I was just
definitely not what I'm ever trying to do. I never want to hate them because it's alternatives for everybody. Yeah. Everybody wins. The fans win. The promoters win. The wrestlers. Yeah. Everybody wins. That's not what I'm trying to get to. I don't mean that.
No, for sure. No, it's just good to clarify. Sometimes it's okay to be critical, but not hate. You know what I mean? I'm just wanting to clarify. But I think there's. I think I can. I don't mind saying WWE might look at some of those guys and say, they don't fit. They don't fit what we do here. And that kind of goes back to what we were saying of like, well, then if you're always doing that thing, how are you going to innovate and do something better? And now all these guys are finding a way to innovate, to get better, to do something and find that place. And it's kind of a bummer because WWE is missing out. I mean, hey, good for Lucha Underground that some of them got passed over and didn't get to the big stage because now they're creating their own stage.
Yeah, no, for sure. We really, like I said, perk storm. We were able to pick some of these guys that I had never heard, never seen, and I got them in the ring. I was like, wow,
yeah,
gosh, these guys are so good to me. And and it's like when I went to TNA at first. I really hadn't wrestled Samoa Joe or Daniels Kazarian and guys like that, AJ Styles, and was able to get in the ring with these guys. And it was like, wow, that was cool. These guys are really good. Well, now it's the same thing all over again. I see these young kids come up and they're like, some Havoc, at first he was kind of a journeyman a little bit and he'd come backstage after his match, kind of like, oh, okay, it was good. I had to lose to this girl, or he was kind of, not bummed out, but kind of like, okay, just trust us, bro. Just trust us. Just keep plugging along. Keep doing what you're doing. Cause you're doing everything right. Just keep going. And little by little, these fans started loving him, and now he's one of the fan favorites. He's one of the most popular guys on the roster. He comes out, and people are like, "Son of Havoc, because he's so talented, and he's going out, and he's going to even get better. You haven't seen the best of this guy yet. He's going to continue to get better. And now, it's funny to see him after the match. As he comes back after the show, he's got this big smile on his face, and he's just gleaming from ear to ear. And it's like, man, just trust us, bro. Just now you get it, right? He's like, yeah, I get it now. It's like, just trust us, man. We're anything we do, there's no hate on our parts. We're never trying to, well, I'm gonna bury this guy, or I'm gonna, all we're trying to do is get the best for the show and make that show better, which is making those guys. But I'm trying them to have the best matches of their career. That's what I'm trying to do. I would never sit there and go, well, I'm just bury this guy. Okay, do this so that he falls on his face. Absolutely not. I want these guys to have the best matches and they're already better than me, but they're going to be much, much better than me and much better than my generation. I want them just to have these incredible matches, because when they do, it makes Lucha even that much better and makes me that much better getting in the ring with these guys, because they'll bring out the best in me and hopefully me of them.
It's my favorite saying in wrestling. When everybody looks good, everybody looks good. I love that saying.
Right?
I love it so much. And it's funny, if there's something, because for screenwriters and filmmakers who are listening to this right now, why do you have all these wrestling people on? Because there's stuff you can learn about the world of movie making and storytelling. Because what wrestling teaches you, like you just described with Son of Havoc, is the build. Like Jon Snow in episode one of Game of Thrones was just one of the sons. Now he's one of the top three integral characters because they did what you described, little by little, build.
Absolutely. And that storytelling 101,
absolutely.
I finished the movie. It's going to be out here pretty soon. I'm going to plug it real quick. It's called Vigilante Diaries. And it's with my buddy Rampage Jackson's in it. and Pauly Sloan and Christian Simmons was the director. And just getting finished in post-production right now is going to be coming out. So it's going to be, you know, a good little film, you know, and a good action film. But these guys, you know, they knew that I was from that kind of entertainment world and stuff. And then when I got in there, saying what you're, back to what you're saying about as far as, you know, these film people are asking why you have all these wrestlers on and talking about wrestling. Well, it's because Hollywood's really learning really fast that us wrestlers, we're pretty much good at everything we do in entertainment.
Yeah.
We're kind of jack of all trades. We're stuntmen, we're kabuki artists, we're drama 101, we're body python flying circus. We're kind of all rolled into one. And, you know, and so being on this movie, I heard a couple of the producers constantly going, "God, John, we had no idea that you could do this." I'm like, "Well, where do you think I came from?" They're like, "Yeah, but we just didn't know. Like, you're hitting your lines, you're hitting everything. You're just like solid." And then it came to like some stunt things they wanted me to do, and I'm like, "You know, the stunt owner had his idea," and I'm like, "Well, it, you know, in the right way." I said, "How about?" It's kind of what I do. "How about if we do this?" They're like, "Well, you can do that." I'm like, "Yes." "Can the stuntmen do that?" And I talked to them and kind of showed them. They're like, "Yeah, we can do that." Okay. So then all of a sudden, then I did these drop kicks and these suplexes, all different, these big old jumps. And people were like, "Holy, what the heck? How did you do that?" You know, they were freaking out. Like, where did this guy come from? I'm like, "That's what I do. That's what we came from," you know? And these guys, you know, even the director of age was going, "I've never seen anybody picked up and thrown down that fast ever in my life." And I'm like, "Well, that's what we do." I go out, this 180-pound guy is, to me, like a feather, because I'm used to picking up a guy 300 pounds and trying to do that to him, you know? And they're like, "Wow," you know?
No, that's amazing. I don't know if you remember this, but after the Rundown came out, there was a movie review, and the reviewer said, "Who'd have thought that The Rock could be so funny?" And they were being very sincere. Can you believe that? Anyway, that guy is,
if you ever watched him on TV, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He was serious when he had to be. He could kick ass when he needed to be. But the guy was super funny. On TV.
Absolutely. And people are like, "Well, who would have thought that wrestlers could do that?" Wrestling fans, people that are watching wrestling. It'll be interesting to see what the next generation of directors and producers, screenwriters, will learn from wrestling, because a lot of them are out there, like Max Landis making his videos and stuff, and a lot of screenwriters are out there writing. The writers you mentioned, Krista Joseph and Chris Roach and those guys, Matt, are, a lot of screenwriting in their world too. So I'm very curious to see where it goes. I have to ask you one last question before we go.
Sure.
You got a lot of accolades and a lot of different prizes and trophies and memories, but when the first episode of Lucha Underground aired, the first match featured Chavo Guerrero. No matter whatever happens with Lucha Underground, you will always be the first match wrestled. Where do you put that in your accomplishments?
Oh, that's a big old badge of honor on my chest for sure, you know. Even that it wasn't one of my best matches, you know. I mean, I've had a much better. It was just the first match on Lucha Underground. And that what was cool about that evolved to something else. If I would have had, you know, the first match would have been a 5-star match, then we wouldn't have gone the direction that we did go with it in storylines and stuff. So that everything works out for a reason. Yeah, it really does. But that's up there. That's huge. Just to be a part of it's just a step back from behind the camera and go, you know, in front of the camera, go behind the camera and be able to be a part of that show and not necessarily just being the first match, but just being a part of that show in the producing aspects of it. It's huge, man. It's something that I'll always remember. And I think that is going to just change the course of my career as far as just being on TV and a wrestler. I think you'll be seeing a lot more of me being behind the camera. I just think that I can. People have told me I have a knack for it. How's that?
Well, if Lucha Underground is any indication, you certainly do. So if you love wrestling, you should watch Lucha Underground. If you don't love wrestling, you should watch Lucha Underground. Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on the El Rey Network. We're going to put some links below to their Facebook page and their Twitter and to Chavo's Twitter, where a lot of videos and stuff like that are posted to give you a teaser and inkling. I'm telling you guys, if you tune in, you're going to love it. Chavo Guerrero, I don't mind saying this was a real, real honor. Lifelong fan of wrestling and everything, and a real honor. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and talk about this today.
Well, I appreciate it, Matt. Thank you for having me on and thinking that I'm still a little relevant at times in the wrestling world and having me on, Matt. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, no problem. So, and we got lots more exciting. We got some exciting guests from the world of Doctor Who and more wrestling people and more Lucha Underground people. I'm trying to get Eric on the show. We'll see if I could pull him on. So, anyway, and lots more filmmakers, writers, lots of exciting guests coming up this spring. Thanks, everybody, for downloading, listening, retweeting. This is Tim Davis on the Handsome Timmy D Express.